Today, we are continuing our series on basically positive character traits and emotions paralleled with the negative character traits and emotions that go together. And today's is friendliness versus loneliness. Friendliness versus loneliness. We have three examples. Mary and Elizabeth have shared experiences. Anna and Simeon have faithfulness. John and Jesus have a calling. And we're going to bring out to you, this isn't so much how to be a good friend. We're trying to share with you today ways and areas from your life that you may discover, wow, this is a person I can have as a really close friend because of these shared experiences, because of the faithfulness, because of the calling, whatever the case may be. Because friendliness is absolutely a necessity to protect you and I from loneliness. How these conditions and emotions relate to the Christmas story and to ours is the goal. The goal is how these conditions and emotions relate to the Christmas story and to ours. Here is the series in a sentence. Character over emotion wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. I had this basically illustrated this week in my Thanksgiving experience with my family. I've shared with you before how Vicky, my sister-in-law, and her experience. This is my oldest brother who is deceased. This is his family, Tony and Vicky. And Vicky has three children. The first one was quote-unquote normal. That's Brian Kingston, who now preaches pastors at Ozark Heights, 30-some-odd years old. And then Alicia and Christopher both have severe handicap, severe special needs. And so I have watched God use character over emotion in Vicky's life, and I've watched some amazing things happen. Well, now, in the last 5 to 6 years, Brian, who's done something that no normal person would do, he adopted 5 children at one time from a same family group. But it's become one of the most wonderful blessings. And please hear me. You know, too many times, especially, we get in this Sunday school, and I don't mean that as a negative, but we get in this Sunday school ideology that for things to be real, it all has to work out and it all has to be pristine. No! No! Real life is messy. Real life is difficult and tough, and in your real life situation, you have struggles. And Aaron and Ben, Brian, have absolutely struggled with these 5 kids. But they're making it. They're making it, and they're turning these 5 kids into wonderful Christian people. And so last year, Zebediah, the next to youngest boy, 7 years old at the time, comes up to me and says, "Uncle Ben, will you play pitch with me?" And he's got a football. And I'm like, "Sure." So we go out, and we're pitching. We're having a hi-ho time. 2 minutes into it, Will comes. I was completely unprepared for this. Will comes, "Can I play?" "Well, I'm Uncle Ben." "Sure." Zebediah goes. He didn't ask Will to play. He asked Uncle Ben to play. And there are times for brothers and sisters to have to play together. We all know that. But there's also times that they just want to be the center of attention. And that's okay. Watch this. I blew it. "Okay." And here he comes. Zebediah and him get into it. And guess who got in trouble? Zebediah. He got in big trouble 1 year ago. So this year, I hadn't thought of this, nothing. And we're waiting to go into War Memorial Stadium to watch once again Arkansas get beat. Yeah, it's a joyous occasion. And Zebediah comes up to me. It's his birthday, too. We're celebrating his 8th birthday. "Uncle Ben, will you play pitch with me?" "Yes, I will." And boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's like, "Remember last year?" "Yes, Lord, I remember." We go and we're pitching, and sure, I mean, on cue, Will comes up. "Can I play?" "No, not right now, Will, because Zeb has asked me to, but here in just a few minutes, you and I'll pitch." "Okay." This trips off. I'm like, "Well, that was easy." And Zeb didn't get a whooping. Will didn't get whooped by Zeb. It all worked out. Watch this. Character over emotion wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. Brother Craig or Brad, do you guys have that picture that I asked you to get ready? We've had something in that hole, because I know I've kept you guys up to date on what's going on. They've had a new member of the family claim them. Now, I don't know if you're getting this in your mind, what's happening here, but this dog is about 100 pounds shy of a lap dog. But he doesn't know that. And Manly, that's his name, Manly, as best as we can tell, is an absolute stray. He claimed the community a year, year and a half ago. Every house in that cul-de-sac has a bed for Manly and food and water laid out at all times. But for about the last 6 to 8 months, Manly has stayed at what I call the Kingston Commune. And do you know why? I believe with all my heart, this man needed a family to protect. And he sees Alicia and he sees Christopher and thinks, you know what? I can be used here. And the other two dogs, they're not much shy of Manly, but they know they're smart. And they have submitted to Manly's the man in that house. And so when I first got exposed to Manly, I started petting that guy's head. And you know what he did? He nestled in. And before you know it, I'm sitting down, and I got a 15, 20-pound head in my lap. And I'm just a petting. Boom, I get a leg. Boom, I get another leg. I got a whole dog in my lap. Okay, Manly. And I've got another picture of Manly like this in Benjamin's lap, passed out. There it is. That dog is asleep. And so I'm just telling you, folks, God takes care of his own. God takes care of his own. And Vicky is one of the most Christian women you'll ever meet, and God is providing for her. Hallelujah. I knew you would appreciate that. So now we're going to get into the message. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Friendliness versus loneliness. There is nothing like the season of difficulty to cause our true friendships to rise to the top. Nothing like the season of difficulty to magnify a lack of true friendship, or separate us from our friends and be a multiplier of loneliness. Defining friendship, an attachment to a person proceeding from intimate acquaintance and a reciprocation, that means they give it back, of kind offices. This is from Webster. Or from a favorable opinion of the amiable and respectable qualities of his mind. Friendship differs from benevolence, which is goodwill to mankind in general, and from that love which springs from animal appetite. True friendship is a noble and virtuous attachment springing from a pure source, a respect for worth, or amiable qualities. False friendship may subsist between bad men, as between thieves and pirates. This is a temporary attachment springing from interest and may change in a moment to enmity and rancor. There can be no friendship without confidence, and no confidence without integrity. There is little friendship in the world, and that's true, church. The first law of friendship is sincerity. Mutual attachment, intimacy, if not in friendship, live at least in peace. Well, what about loneliness? In my humble opinion, Webster didn't do near as good a job in loneliness, but I want you to hear what he says. Solitude, retirement, and I don't know why, but that just struck me. I don't think of loneliness with retirement, but it certainly makes sense. Seclusion from company. He was weary of the loneliness of his habitation is a sentence that you would use it in. And then I went to Google. Sadness because one has no friends or company. Feelings of depression and loneliness. Here's some synonyms, some words that pretty much say the same thing. Friendlessness, isolation, lack of friends / companions, forsakenness, abandonment, rejection. Can't you see the enemy in all of those? Church, we must seek to support our friends. Seek the friendships God calls us to and understand our greatest friend. I've shared with you many times that it was my experience on Riverbend Road in that trailer when I was single for some 4 years, meaning here. I was single for 8 years once I reached manhood, 18 or 20 years of age. But I was 27 before I got married. And those 4 years after college here as your youth pastor, even though you were the most wonderful church to me that you could be, some of you were the most wonderful friends that you could be, I was lonely in that trailer. And the devil always came to call. And I can't speak for you, but I can only imagine if he does the same thing in your life, this is what he did to me. And I'm speaking obviously symbolically. But he would put his hand behind my back and he would shove me into a corner. And it wasn't a corner of brick and mortar. It was a corner of my own loneliness. And in that corner, he would tell me, nobody loves you. Nobody does what you do. Nobody acts like you do. Nobody's as bad as you. And he would tell me those things over and over and over. And inevitably, he would lead me to that old freezer. And he would say, just get in. Just get in. And church, I'm telling you, the only person, it wasn't a thing, the only person that saved me from that fate was Jesus Christ. Because I can also take you to that bedroom at the end of that trailer where on a particular occasion, at an absolute height of that loneliness, on my side, begging to God, Jesus Christ, again figuratively, took my hand and he led me through that experience. He bolstered me with this church. He bolstered me with John and Deborah Smith and many, many others. And church, hear me. God saved my life. And he'll do the same for you. He is your greatest friend. And he wants you to have friends that will also support and help you. I went to my parents at that lowest ebb, and they were the ones that said, Ben, we feel like we've done you a disservice, and we're going to pray that God brings to you the person that he wants you to live with the rest of your life with. The next week, Dawn and I started dating. The next week. Don't tell me that God doesn't work through authority. He does. I was single. I was an adult, but my parents still had some effect by me submitting and telling them what I was struggling with on a daily basis. And they were, if you will, my friends at that time. Point number one. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Would you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? The point number one that this passage is going to support is true friendships can spring from shared experiences. True friendship can spring from shared experiences. And I'm turning in my Bible. I've got it in my iPad, but it is a little bit, it's an ASV, and I've got a King Jimmy here in my hands. So I want to read to you Luke chapter 1, verse 39. King James, we like to say. Here we go. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So In case you don't have any idea as to what's going on, Mary, who is carrying the Son of God by supernatural Holy Spirit conception, comes into Elizabeth's, because she's a cousin, and she comes to Elizabeth's home, and Elizabeth, for 5 months, has been hiding herself, and now she's showing, And so on month six, Mary walks into the room and salutes Elizabeth. When she does, John the Baptist leaps in her womb. And only ladies who have had a pregnancy can relate to what that's all about. But Elizabeth knows that something has happened in her uterus. And she goes, "Oh my goodness, you are carrying my Lord." And so watch what happens. Look at verse 43. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. True friendships can spring from shared experiences. You and I are limited in our experiences. There is a natural bond that only those that have those shared experiences have. Now, I want you to listen to that again. You and I are limited in our experiences. Therefore, when someone has like experiences, there is a natural bond that only those that have those shared experiences have. Julie Rayfield can tell you, because we've talked about this a lot, that just a few years after I got back, we were going through the Tommy Heigl Journey series, Journey Through Suffering. And it was on the book of Job. And we were meeting in that classroom at that time because it was a very small, quaint group. And God taught me a lot of stuff that I thought I knew that I didn't. And he taught me several things that I didn't know about suffering. I had already fallen into that trap, desperately wanting to relate to someone that no matter what had happened to him, I would tell him, "I know how you feel." And he nailed us to the wall. Unless you have the same experiences, don't do that. It's a lack of integrity. Well, none of us are doing it for that reason. We don't even realize it. We're just trying to help. But they know the depths of grief and suffering that they're going through, and they want to hear you say that, but if they're wise, they're going to say, "Oh, tell me about it. When did you go through this?" And now you're left with the stark reality that, "Well, I was just saying that to be nice. I don't know what you're going through." In church, it changed my ministry when it come to grief. When I preach a funeral, if someone's lost a mother, I don't tell them I know what they're going through. I don't. I tell them the exact opposite. I don't know what you're going through, but I know someone that can relate to you. And watch this. We have people all through the first and second service that you've been certified. Some of you have lost a mother. You've lost a daughter, you've lost a son, you've lost a father, whatever, fill the blank in. You are certified. You have now the ability to meet with these people with shared experiences, and friendships can spring out of that. I want you to think about some of these shared experiences, and honestly, there's no rhyme or reason to what I'm fixing to say as much as these are the things that just came to the top when I was working on this. And this first one is pretty gruesome. But every time and almost every farming season, we hear one of these stories. A self-amputation. Church, I can't imagine. Even though we don't always get along, there's not a part of me that I'm ready to just whack off. And I can't imagine having my arm or leg or whatever in a piece of farming equipment that to save my life, I have got to cut it off. I cannot imagine. But can you imagine the shared experiences those people have? We celebrated a ranger a Friday because he was a hero. And he stood there with two metal legs. He was a double amputee. And even though I'm sure he's grateful and thankful for all of our thankfulness, there's very few people in this world that can really relate to him. But those people that can, there's an amazing friendship that can spring from that. Life and death experiences, similar jobs, death of loved ones, traumatic experiences, harrowing feats, military service, etc. Again, I call it certification. Why is this the case? Why is this true? You know the depths of the experience that no one else knows, which fosters and guides the friendship. That's why wonderful friendships can come out of shared experiences. There's only two women that knew each other and could have a friendship that one could say, I gave birth to the Savior of the world, and the other could say, and I gave birth to the forerunner. We all know that Jesus is the number one person in all the world. We know that. He's the best. And John the Baptist probably makes the top five in most people's lists. And these two women spent 3 months talking about, is this not amazing? Oh my goodness. Who are we that got the humility that was in that room? And then the shared experiences of the pregnancies and the such. So true friendships are born out of shared experiences. Point number two, true friendships can spring from shared faithfulness. If you have your Bible still open, look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And again, this is the ASV, so it may sound a little different than your King James. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, then he received him into his arms and blessed God, and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. Now you want to know how we know that this fellow was really spot on? He included the Gentiles. Only a truly humble spiritual Jew would ever include the Gentiles. This guy was spot on. And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against, yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, Mary, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow, even, in other words, he died. She was a widow for 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had accomplished all things that were according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. True friendships can spring out of faithfulness. These two levels of faithfulness are probably at the top. And very few of us have been called to this level. But the reality is the same, that great faithfulness brings a kindred spirit. This is an area, obviously, that we should aspire to. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to church. Faithfulness to the financial support of the church. Faithfulness to each other. I want to ask the question why again. Why is this important to friendships? You and I, as faithful people, we know the challenges and rewards of being faithful. That fosters and guides respect and honor. to the person. Church, it's extremely important that you and I not read our own press clippings. It's important that we keep a humble spirit, a humble approach to what God has done for us. But if you and I believe I'm speaking to the choir here, we're faithful to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. God is naturally going to provide friends for you in those shared, in that shared faithfulness. One of such, in my case, is Mike Hurst. Mike Hurst is the pastor of Westview Baptist Church in Jeff City, where my son is the youth director. Something happened to me at Jim Ford's funeral. If you know Mike Hurst well, Jim Ford is his mentor. And Mike Hurst believes that Jim Ford hung the moon. And he is a Jim Ford apologist. Don't put Jim Ford down in front of Mike Hurst. You're going to regret it. But watch this. Mike Hurst also knows that Jim Ford's a sinner, but he just knows that Jim Ford absolutely mentored him. And so at Jim Ford's funeral that Brad and I felt like we needed to go to, after that funeral, Mrs. Hurst walks up to me. Now you got to understand, Mike and I have never went to dinner together. Mike and I don't send Christmas cards to each other. We see each other at associational meetings. We support each other's motions and things of that nature. And we've been at a lot of retreats together and such, but we're not fast buds. She walks up to me and says, "I'm asking you to do Mike's funeral when he passes." And I just look at her and I realize what she's doing. She's honoring me. Why? Because there's some shared faithfulness there between Brother Mike and Brother Ben. Church, you have the same. And I want to read off to you a list. I think this is where the list comes in. No, it comes under number three. But nonetheless, it's exciting. You'll love it. As you experience shared faithfulness to others in this church, friendships are going to spring up. Through the association, through Christianity as a whole, friendships are going to spring up. And I think this is probably a good place for the illustration that I used at the end of the sermon for the first service. I am at Target with my wife Friday evening, 7-ish, and we're buying some stuff. And this young man knows his stuff. And we start talking, and he can answer every question I have, and I had several. And Don asked questions and he knew the answers. It came to that point where he wanted to know why I needed this, because he knew I didn't know anything about it. And I said, "Because I'm going to use it in the ministry of the church that I pastor." His eyes got this big. And he looked at me and says, "Well, where do you preach?" I said, "Bethel Baptist Church, Lonedale, Missouri." And he said, "Oh, well, I'm probably not going to come hear you then. Because this is in Little Rock, Arkansas. This is Little Rock, Arkansas. I should have told you that at the start, right?" So, thanks for hanging with me. We kept talking, and he volunteered this information. I said, "I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't ask you, where do you go to church?" "Well, I don't right now." He said, "But my dad's working on me, and my uncle deacon at so-and-so Baptist church down the road, he's working on me." I said, "Well, I wouldn't be a very good Christian if I didn't ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" He smiled real big and looked at me and said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do." And I said, "Well, then that's all you're going to get from me except this. Going to church or not going to church won't send you to hell." And he said, "That's right. But going to church will make you a better Christian." And he said, "You're right." I said, "Okay, that's all I'm going to do." And church, listen to me. We just had a wonderful... This man was the same color as Wayne Gooch that comes at first service. He was a black man. And y'all say, "I'm white as a sheet." And we're not supposed to get along. The world is telling us that we're racists and such of that nature. But at the end of all of this, when I was walking away, quote unquote, with the stuff, and he was happy that he had made a good sale, I stuck my hand out, he shook my hand, and I said, "Sir, please know this, you and I are going to live together forever." And his smile got his, "That's right, brother, that's right." And I walked away from there knowing, watch this, if he and I live close together, we probably could be friends. I told him, I said, "You realize that you could be in radio with your voice?" And he said, "I hear that a lot." And I said, "That's because you've got an amazing voice." Point number three, true friendships can spring up from shared callings. John chapter 1, if you're there, John chapter 1, verse 15. John chapter 1, verse 15. "John beareth witness of him and crieth, saying, This was he of whom I said, He that cometh after me is become before me, for he was before me. For of his fullness we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, Well, what then? Art thou Elijah? He saith, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. They said, Therefore, well, who art you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord. And said, As said Isaiah the prophet, and they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Well, why then baptize thou, if thou art not the Christ, neither Elijah, neither the prophet? John answered them, I baptize in water. In the midst of you standeth one whom you know not, even he that cometh after me, the latch of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. On the morrow, the next day, he seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is become before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, for this cause came I baptizing in water. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus said, the Bible says, Then come Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Why would I read all of that passage? Because they both had a calling. They both had a calling. We don't know if an amazing friendship sprung out of this because they both had different directions as a result of their calling. But watch this, church. Amazing friendships can spring out of mutual callings. Remember I told you about the list? Sunday school teachers. Guys, we need each other. Sunday school teachers, pastors, Awana leaders, Celebrate Recovery leaders, moms, dads, teachers, etc. Fill in the blank. What's your calling? You've got one. It may be a factory worker in union. You've got a calling, and someone there has a similar calling, and a friendship can spring out of that. Why? You understand the challenges and importance of this calling that fosters and guides support and empathy. My favorite joke about Jesus and Lonedale is this. Jesus walked up to a man that was crying. And Jesus said, Sir, why are you crying? And he said, Because I'm blind and I cannot see. And Jesus healed him. And he just danced away because Jesus had healed him from not being able to see. The next guy is crying and he walks up to him, Sir, why are you crying? Because I am lame and I can't walk. And Jesus heals him and he dances away because Jesus healed him. The third guy sitting on the curb crying and he says, Son, why are you crying? And he says, Jesus, I live in Lonedale. And Jesus sat next to him and cried also. Yeah. I'm glad you laughed. Probably most of you from St. Clair laughed, but nonetheless. You understand the challenges and importance of this calling that fosters and guides support and empathy. Sympathy is, oh, you poor sap. Empathy is, I can only imagine if I were in the same position, how I would feel. And church, probably none of us really want sympathy. We want empathy. We want each other to go, yeah, yeah, if I was in that same position, this is what I'd be doing. Point number four, we're done. True friendship is always modeled by Jesus. True friendship is always modeled by Jesus. A, he shares our experiences. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus shares your experiences. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are. B, he is faithful to the end. He's faithful to the end. I don't know if you've caught it yet, but I'm just going through the three points now with Jesus in mind. I will never leave you nor forsake you. C, he shares our calling. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. So why? Why did Jesus do all this? This is why you and I were created, to have a friendship with Christ. Therefore, this is why he was born, to be a friend to the sinner and to make us children of God. Would you please all stand? Musicians, will you come? I've got one more thing to say. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Second Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I started this message explaining to you that nobody will ever love you, support you, challenge you for the good like Jesus will. But watch this. If you embrace Jesus as your best friend, he will make you a great friend to those around you. He'll make you a great friend to those that have shared experiences. He'll make you a great friend to those that are faithful. He'll make you a great friend to those that have a similar calling. And folks, friendship's not limited to these things. It can certainly traverse all sorts of barriers. And you can be an amazing friend to someone that has no shared experiences in these areas, but because of your bond with Jesus, or maybe because of Jesus alone, you can be friend to a person who has no friends. I want to share with you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I got a prayer request from Brooklyn Thielman. I want you to hear this prayer request. This prayer request will touch your heart. Brooklyn has come to us and asked us to pray for a little girl named Kendriana. Thank you, Pam. I can't read my own writing. Kendriana. Kendriana lost her mother recently. Brooklyn's trying to be a dear friend. Father, we close this part of the service and we open up the invitation asking you to do your will and way. Lord, we all need good, close friends. We pray that you would strengthen us in that. Help us to be the friend. As many of our staff have said, be the change you want to see. Help us to be that good friend. And Father, we pray for Kendriana that you would minister to her in this loss. Lord, I cannot relate. I can't imagine, especially at such a young age. Father, the scripture says that you can relate to her. So we're asking you to do just that. Use Brooklyn and the families around her. If she does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that she'd be saved, for it's everlasting too late. Lord, do your will and way in our invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Stay standing. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. We'll send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Will you come?